Our pattern this year has been on the first Sunday of each month when we observe the Lord's table. We are studying some aspect of salvation today, the glory of God in justification. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21? That's where we will begin, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Hopefully you've done your finger exercises this week and ready to turn to a number of places in the scripture. As this is a topical message, we'll need to turn to several places. Consider this matter of justification before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful words to hymns that we can sing praises unto your name and rejoice in the wonderful truth of your word. We turn now to our study of your word and pray that as we consider the things that you have said about this matter of justification, that we would understand it and we would appreciate it afresh and anew and rejoice in the declaration that you have made simply by the faith we have exercised in Jesus Christ for us to be righteous in him. Bless this study to the glory of your name and to the edification of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to make a very bold statement. I will back it up with scripture. Here is the statement. Salvation is not about making us live forever. Now, to be sure, we do live forever because of salvation. But salvation is about making us righteous. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall give his people eternal life. Is that what it says? No. It says, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is about the doctrine of justification. It goes like this. God declares us to be righteous on the basis of faith, which we exercise in the place of righteousness, which we do not have, and which we cannot obtain on our own, but was obtained for us by Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go through that in detail this morning. But basically it goes like this. Sin is what produces death. Death is only a symptom. The problem is sin. Sin is the root cause. Yes, we die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But why do we die? Because of sin. The wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. How did death come into the world? Came by sin. Sin is the reason that we die. And therefore, correspondingly, righteousness is the reason we live. If sin is the reason we die, we must have righteousness in order to live. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. How does the justification of life come to us? It comes by the righteousness of one. Verse 21 of the same chapter, Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Yes, we could say salvation is about us living forever, but how do we get to eternal life? We get to eternal life through righteousness. That grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. For as sin causes us to die, the righteousness of God brings us to life. And this is what the subject of justification is about. God declaring us to be righteous in Jesus Christ so that we might live in Him. Let's go through this step by step. First of all, God is holy and righteous. Psalm 99, verse 9. Psalm 99, verse 9. Psalm 99, verse 9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. This vividly describes the very nature of God, His holy. It relates to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. It expresses His intrinsic nature, what He is within Himself. He is holy. God is also righteous. And God being righteous is the external evidence of God's internal nature. Daniel chapter 9, verse 14. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth. Righteousness expresses the external evidence of the internal holiness of God. As God is holy, He always does the right thing. Now, these two terms, holiness and righteousness, can be interchangeable. And you may find places like Psalm 145, verse 17, where it says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. These two terms are like the two sides of a coin. You can't separate them. Holiness and righteousness go together. But the point is that God is holy. And as it's expressed in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 16, the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. That is the nature of God. The second point is this. In order for anyone to stand in the presence of God, we must be holy and righteous. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Since God is holy and righteous, we must be holy and righteous in order to stand in His presence. Psalm 24, verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? The answer in verse 4, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. The pure heart, we're familiar with the use of the word heart, the concept of the internal organ of the body, the heart, as an expression of the inner man. And a pure heart goes along with the idea of the intrinsic nature of holiness. We must be holy. Remember, the Lord says, be holy as I am holy. That's an internal purity. The clean hands goes along with the concept of righteousness. The hands are also a physical organ of the body. And as the internal heart is used as a reference to the inward man, the hands in the scripture are used in reference to the outward man. And thus we must be pure on the inside, clean on the outside. A pure heart, clean hands, holiness and righteousness. Who can stand in God's holy hill? Only those who are holy and righteous. Hebrews chapter 2, and 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, and by implication, follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And you're familiar with the Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Do you remember what the rest of that verse is? For they shall see God. Who gets to see God? Those who are pure in heart. Who is allowed into his presence? Those who are holy. And in Jude 1, 24, there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 24 in the book of Jude, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. God is holy and righteous. In order to be in his presence, we must be holy and righteous. Here is the problem. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Who is righteous? According to this verse, no one. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In fact, later in the same chapter, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 3:10 says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And none of us are righteous, none of us do righteousness, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, you're familiar with the verse, says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In fact, Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. We have no righteousness. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And thus, because we are not righteous and we are fallen short of the glory of God, we must be separated from the presence of God himself. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. I am sure that these are words no one wants to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say to him. And yet, notice what he said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, we'll read. Many will say to me, in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. What do they have to do? Depart from me. They must be separated from God. Oh, just using the name of Jesus doesn't mean they actually believed in Jesus. Some people use the name of Jesus as a magic formula. Did you know that? They just use the name of Jesus as a magic formula. Jesus doesn't really mean anything to them as a person. He is a religious incantation. And by declaring the name of Jesus, they think they can do very special things. They don't actually believe in the person in Jesus, and they don't actually trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And because they are not righteous, and because they are not holy, and because they have fallen short of the glory of God, they cannot be in the presence of God. And Jesus says, depart from me. He says the same thing in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Once again, he says, depart from me. And then look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. God is holy and righteous. In order to be in his presence, we must be holy and righteous. The problem is we are not righteous. We have no righteousness. All the righteousness that we can claim is nothing but filthy rags. We have fallen short of the glory of God, and therefore we must be isolated from the presence of God. And here's an additional problem. Man cannot obtain holiness and righteousness on his own. It is impossible for man to obtain holiness and righteousness on his own. You know the verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 3, would you go there, please? Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. There is not one thing that we can do to erase the fact that we are unrighteous and unholy. There is no way that we can obtain a sufficient amount of justice, righteousness, or holiness to be declared just before God. It is absolutely impossible. Man cannot obtain righteousness and holiness on his own. There is nothing that we can do. Not even the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. They had those sacrifices and blood was shed, but it was never enough. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It was impossible to be made perfect by those sacrifices. Not by the works of the law, not by the deeds of the law, not by the sacrifices of the Old Testament. It doesn't even help for man to get angry. I think this is an interesting one. James 1:20, perhaps you remember it. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So here we are. It's a tremendous dilemma. God is holy and righteous. In order to be in his presence, we have to be holy and righteous. But we don't have any holiness. We don't have any righteousness. And we can't get it on our own. What are we going to do? before the foundation of the world, God made a plan. It's an expression they use in South Africa a lot when they're going to talk about doing something. They say, let's make a plan. Isn't it good to have a plan before you do something? Did you ever go on vacation and just say, let's get in the car, and wherever the car takes us, that's where we're going to go? No plan. No reservations anywhere. You didn't even check your bank account to make sure you had enough of money to pay for it. I mean, you didn't. No plan. You just hop in the car. Let's go. It's time to go on vacation. How's that going to work out for you? God made a plan. It's not something that happened haphazardly. The events that took place with Jesus Christ here on the earth 2,000 years ago was not just a coincidence. It was a plan. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. The first part of the plan was for redemption to be paid for by the blood of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, let me get there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before God ever created the earth, before man was ever made, Adam was not a conscious being when God made the plan to redeem man with the precious blood of Christ. That was the first part of the plan. The second part of the plan, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what's the next word? Holy. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. First, he paid the price with his blood to redeem us. Secondly, the plan was to make us holy. The result of these two things together is Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. But before we could have life, we had to be redeemed. And before we could have life, we had to be holy. And because he redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ, and because he justified us, declared us to be righteous and holy in him, we therefore can live. And all of this was planned before the world began. By God's plan, Jesus became righteousness for us in the eyes of God the Father. Remember, we don't have any righteousness. We can't get it on our own. But we must have it in order to stand in God's presence. If we don't have it and we can't get it, how are we going to get it? In order to stand in God's presence. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ did a righteous thing. He became obedient unto the death of the cross. He said while he was here on this earth, he came to fulfill the will of his Father. Jesus did the right thing, and he did a righteous thing, and he became righteousness for us, that when we believe, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Jesus became righteousness for us, when he became the end in the end of the law, righteousness to everyone that believeth, God decided before the foundation of the world that this is what he would do. He would look at mankind who does not have the righteousness it needs to stand in his presence. He would look at mankind who cannot obtain on their own the righteousness that they need in order to stand in his presence. And then he would look at his Son, who would be righteousness, the very embodiment of righteousness, who would do the righteous thing here on this earth. And God said, this is what I will do. If these unrighteous people who cannot obtain righteousness on their own will have faith in my righteous Son, I will accept their faith in my righteous Son as if it is righteousness itself. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, what is it? His belief. His belief, his faith. Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Righteousness is the thing that produces life. We don't have it. We can't get it on our own. But Jesus obtained it for us. And God the Father, before the foundation of the world, said, everyone who has faith in my Son, that faith will count, will be equal to, in value, in my eyes, righteousness. The righteousness that produces life. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is our righteousness, God declares us to be just. God declares us to be righteous. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto what? Righteousness. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, "For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because when we receive his righteousness, our spirit is made alive in God." Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. When we are granted by the declaration of God to be righteous on the basis of our faith which we have placed in Jesus Christ, we then come to life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." Without faith, there is no righteousness, and thus, no life. Romans chapter 9, verse 31. Romans chapter 9, verse 31. "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore," in verse 32, "because they sought it not by faith." Lots of times when we witness to people, we ask them if they would like to live forever. It's a valid question, but there is another question that must come first. That question is this: would you like to be free from your sins? Death is only a symptom. Sin is the problem. Pain is only a symptom. How many of you have had kidney stones? I'm just curious. Ooh, look how many. Quite a few. You know what pain is with kidney stones. Now, when you have the pain from a kidney stone, they can give you a pill or a shot of pain medication, and in some cases it may take the pain away altogether. In some cases the pain doesn't go away altogether, but at least it doesn't hurt so much as it did. But the pain medication doesn't solve the problem, does it? The kidney stone is still there. Pain is only a symptom, and taking care of the symptom doesn't solve the problem. God does not want us to live forever in pain. There is pain that comes with death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting?" There is pain related to dying. It is a symptom. But the real pain comes from the problem of sin, so that we are in pain even now, as Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Because sin is a serious problem. With sin, we cannot stand in the presence of God. We can never go to heaven. We can never live forever because of sin. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Not just to give us eternal life, but to grant us the righteousness that produces life. Jesus did not just give us a pain pill. Jesus provided for complete healing. Because of what Jesus did for us, God the Father is able to make an amazing declaration. When a person places his faith in Jesus Christ and trusts that what Jesus did for us is all that needs to be done, and believes with all his heart that God is totally satisfied by the righteous deeds of Jesus Christ on the cross, in his suffering for us, in his shedding his blood, and in rising from the dead. God responds by declaring that believer to be just, by declaring that believer to be righteous, by declaring that believer to be free from sin, and as a justified person, we are granted the wonderful privilege to live forever. Jesus didn't go through everything he went through just so that we could live forever. Jesus went through everything he did, the suffering, the bleeding, the dying, the rising again, so that we might be righteous, to save us from our sins, to declare us just before a holy God, to give us what we could not get on our own, to grant to us what we do not have and cannot obtain on our own in any way whatsoever. Jesus went through everything he did to grant us the righteousness which can only come by faith, that produces life and grants us the privilege for all eternity to stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God. Have you been justified? Have you been declared to be righteous in Jesus Christ? Then understand, he has not just granted you a ticket to heaven. He has changed your very being. So that you might stand in the presence of a holy God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. It's amazing what you did. Give clarity in our thoughts to the truth, so that when we witness, we may witness with accuracy, not just offering people a pain pill, but healing, complete, entire, from the disease of sin, that they might be righteous in Jesus Christ and live forever. Thank you for this wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen.